told you a few years ago, I'd made quite a few bad choices, and I kept having this kind of recurring daydream, which was, I was going to change my name, I was going to just run off to the Lake District, and whatever, find a job, maybe work in a youth hostel or something, with a new name, wouldn't tell anyone where I was, and just start off from scratch. And I kept having this coming to my mind. It was going to be very easy, I could just pack a backpack and get on a train. It was going to be easy, but I never did it, actually. God gave me a new start in a different way. But sometimes we just need a new start. I'm going to read from Isaiah today. Someone know Isaiah is in the middle of the Bible. So in my Bible, it's page 730. So, Isaiah chapter 43. We'll come to that in a minute. But Isaiah was a prophet who lived about 750 years before Jesus. And in these chapters, even though he lived 750 years before Jesus, he's speaking to the exiles, which happened 150 years after that. But he's somehow speaking to the exiles, and he's speaking God's word to them. So the exiles were the Israelites. They've been carried off to a different country. They've been taken away to Babylon because of God's judgment on them. So they had kept on sinning. They kept on worshipping idols. They kept on doing their own thing. God had warned them time and time and time again. And then they haven't listened time and time and time again. He'd given them so many options, so many opportunities to turn back to him, but they haven't. So he carried them off into exile. So here the exiles are, and they are in a different country. They've had to learn a new language. They've had to eat new foods. They've had to do different things. Maybe some of them are slaves. It wasn't looking great for them. But Isaiah spoke into this situation. So let's just read Isaiah 43. We'll start from verse 16, just a few verses. This is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again. Extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. He says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do not perceive it. I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So, there's sort of three ways you can read this passage. I'm not really going to go into the first two very much, because I think God wants us to say something to us here and now today, the beginning of 2025, here in Addleston, in sunny Addleston. The first way you can read it is the way that Isaiah was writing at the time to the exiles. And just in summary, what he's saying is, even though you're exiled and you're over there and you're cut off from God and you can't worship him in the temple, God still has a plan for you. And he is your redeemer. He's going to bring you back. He's going to make a way for you to come back. He's doing a new thing, a way for you to come back home. He's calling the exiles home. And he's saying, just as verse 16 says, he made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters. Does that ring any bells with anyone? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's talking about the exodus coming out of Egypt, the slavery out of Egypt. So just as God rescued you from Egypt, God is going to rescue you from Babylon as well. And that's what he's saying. That's one way of reading it. That's what the original message is. God's making a way home for his people to come back home, back to Israel. Okay. The next way of reading it is through kind of the lens of Jesus. Jesus, the New Testament. We know from, if you read the whole of the book of Isaiah, we don't have time for that today. But if you read the whole book, it's painting this picture of the Messiah King that's coming to rescue his people. And he's rescuing his people just as God rescued them from Egypt, just as he rescued them from Babylon. Jesus has rescued us from our sins. He's made a way. He's made a way in the wilderness to rescue his people. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So have those two things in your mind. God's rescue plan. God's plan of redemption and salvation. But what I wanted to focus on today is a message for us here and now. That's kind of the third way of reading it. Is everyone still with me?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going too fast?
Nope.
Great. Okay. We're just going to zoom in on verse 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So what's God saying first of all? He's saying, forget the former things. Forget the former things. Forget the past. Okay, so the past is the past. We can't change it. What's God saying here? I don't think he's saying that the past is not important. I don't think he's talking about just kind of forgetting the past that happened and sweeping it under the rug. Sometimes it's good to kind of look the past in the face, if you like, and say, okay, how was last year? How was the last few years of my life? What has God been doing? Or what has happened in my life? And sometimes it's not always how we wanted it to go. Sometimes bad things happen to us. People take advantage of us, or we get let down by other people. Sometimes we let other people down. Sometimes we get disappointed. Things don't work out the way that we thought it should. And it doesn't feel great. Or it can feel like, does anyone ever get to the end of the year and feel like, oh, thank God that year's gone. It's a brand new year. Let's try again this year. You know, sometimes it feels a bit like that. But God is saying, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past, right? You could say, don't dwell in the past. Don't stay there. Don't live in the past. The past doesn't have to define us. It doesn't have to, just because something hasn't worked out or just because things have gone wrong doesn't mean it's always going to be like that. Doesn't mean that God can't come in and do something new in our lives. Doesn't mean that we have to lose hope. We don't have to be defined by it. One of my old pastors used to say, don't be defined by the worst 15 minutes of your life. Sometimes you do bad stuff, we make mistakes. It doesn't have to finish there. It's not the end of our story. We don't have to dwell in the past. And then what does God say next? He says, he's doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Can you see what God's doing? He's saying, look out. I'm on the move. I'm doing something different here. I want to do something different. But sometimes we're so fixed, our minds are so focused on the former things, on the things that have already happened, on the past. Or maybe our minds are fixed on our current problems. We can't see what God's doing, or we're not looking for it. But he's saying, come on, be alert, be in the moment, be present. I'm doing a new thing. Can you see it? And sometimes it feels like we can't see what God's doing, and that is not easy. But it can be those little shoots of life that can come into your life. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It's those little things that God's doing that still gives us hope. For example, it could be something really, really small that you think is small but is a big deal for you. Maybe you've been able to feel angry but not shout. You know, maybe you've been able to not swear. Maybe your brother-in-law, this happened to us over Christmas, got in touch. He never gets in touch with the family. We haven't seen him for 2 years. But he came and hung out with us for 2 days. That was an answer to prayer. God is doing a new thing. But we have to keep our eyes open to see what he's doing. In our home life, in our workplace, at church, whatever our situation is, keep our eyes open because he is doing a new thing. It's springing up. Keep your eyes open. So, what does he say next? He says, I'm making a way in the wilderness. I'm making a way in the desert. Has anyone ever been to a desert? You have. What's it like? Can you tell us?
Vast.
It's a vast.
Vast.
What else?
Doesn't look like there's any life, but actually there's a lot going on, but you can't always see it.
Okay, so it looks kind of empty.
Yeah.
Not a lot going on, but there is something going on under the surface, maybe. Okay. Anyone else been somewhere very hot, briny?
They're very hot and dry.
Hot and dry. Still. Not much wind.
Unless there's a
standstill. Unless there's a standstill.
Then that's a thing.
Not much water. So it's kind of hard to imagine when you come to church on a Sunday morning like this in Adelstone and it's chucking it down. But everywhere is green and lovely in Surrey because of all the rain that we have. But deserts are dry, kind of empty places. They can be lonely places, I think. I think they can be disorientating and confusing. You hear all those stories in the news, don't you, about people that get off the track or they lose the path, and then all the rescue services are looking for them for days and stuff because they can't find where they're meant to go. They've lost their way, they've lost the path, they've run out of water, they've got into trouble, and then hopefully they get rescued. But you know, dangerous places, deserts, as well. But sometimes our lives can be a bit like that. Sometimes we have moments in our lives when we feel like we're in a desert place, when we feel like, this is just, I don't know where I'm going, it's just really huge place, I'm disorientated, I don't know what I'm doing, or you just feel dry. This is my illustration. So, anyone know what this is?
Is it a
dead plant? Okay. Dead plant, yes. It is a...
Weed.
No, it's not a weed. This is a mint plant.
Ah, what?
Mint.
Mint. Oh, those are mints.
Mint plant.
Was a mint plant?
It was a mint plant. We went away, and when it came back, it was like this. And didn't get the water in time. It doesn't look great. Yeah. But this one is my parsley plant, which looks a bit more healthy. Yeah? What's the difference?
One has leaves.
One has leaves, yeah. One's alive. One's green. Emmanuel. Why did my mint plant not look the same? What did it need?
Water.
Water, exactly. So sometimes we need water in our lives. Sometimes we're feeling dry. So the dry feeling. What do I mean by feeling dry? I mean, dry is a lack of water, right? Mm-hmm. So if we're feeling dry, maybe we're not dehydrated, but kind of spiritually, emotionally, maybe we have a lack of hope, or a lack of faith, lack of love, maybe a lack of power. Something's missing from our lives and we're feeling dry. I don't know if anyone ever feels like that. Sometimes I feel like that. But God says he is making a way in the desert. He is making a way for us. He's got a way forward for us in our desert place. And whatever situation we're facing that doesn't feel very hopeful, that doesn't feel very good, he's got a way forward for us. He's making a way. He can get us on the path we need to be on. If we can't see the path, we can't find the path, he can make the path for us. He is our path. And he's going to lead us through the wilderness. He's going to lead us forwards. He has a direction for us to go in, a forwards direction. We don't have to be kind of disorientated and lost and confused in the desert. God's got a way forwards for us. But also, he said he's making streams. Streams in the wasteland. So verse 19. He's making streams in the wasteland. So God wants to pour his living water on us. What am I talking about here? We jump down to Isaiah 44, there's a bit of a clue. Okay, so I'm going to read Isaiah 44, verse 1 to 5. Now listen, Jacob, my servant, Israel, that means us, whom I've chosen. This is what the Lord says. He who made you, who formed you in the womb, and who will help you. Do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant, Jeshua, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They will spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplar trees by flowing streams. Some will say, I belong to the Lord. Others will call themselves by the name of Jacob. Still others will write on their hand, the Lord's, and will take the name Israel. So what's this water that Isaiah's talking about in chapter 43, the streams in the wasteland? What's he talking about? He's talking about the Holy Spirit's power. Verse 3, chapter 44, I will pour out my spirit on your offspring. I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. God wants to pour out his spirit on us today, but on an ongoing basis. Whenever we're feeling dry, whenever we're feeling like we're lacking something, whenever we're feeling we're not sure where we're going or we need some hope, we can come and ask God to pour out his spirit on us, on our lives. And he's got more than enough. It's not talking about a drop in the desert. It's not talking about a little puddle or a big puddle. I drove through a very big puddle this morning. He's not talking about that. He's not talking about a pond. He's talking about streams. Living water, plenty of it. It's on the move. And it's coming for you and for me if we just allow the Holy Spirit to come into those dry places in our lives. I've never been to Egypt, but they say that by the Nile, where the river runs, it's very green, very lush, very beautiful. And there's lots of kind of things that grow there. It's fertile. But the rest of the country is quite dry. But that's what God wants to do. To kind of make us alive and living like this. Give us hope. And not be like this. Maybe this is not a good illustration because it's a bit too late for this plant. But maybe it is because it's never too late with God. It's never too late for us with God. There's always something more. There's always a hope for us. So, what I'd like to do now, if it's all right, I'd like us to, where we are, get into small groups. So maybe threes or fours, twos or threes or fours. We're going to spend some time attending to each other, watering each other. We're going to spend some time praying for each other. If you don't want to do this, it's fine. You can sit out. But nothing to lose. Why not give it a go? Why not pray for each other? If you don't know what to say, we can use some words from the Bible. So I want us to ask each other what we need. Don't have to go into detail. If you don't feel comfortable sharing, just say, just pray for me. It's fine. But there's sort of a few things I want to pick up on. So if someone is feeling like they need a new beginning, a new start, we can pray for them. Or if they want to leave the things in the past behind, we can pray for them. If you don't know what to say, you can use verse 18 and 19 from chapter 43. You can pray, Lord, help Katie to forget the past. Help her to not dwell in the past. It can be as easy as that. Help her to see the new things that you're doing in her life. Verse 19. Or if you want to invite the Holy Spirit to come into some dry places in your life, even if you're not really sure what that means, you can pray verse 3. Pour out my spirit on your offspring. Pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. Does that make sense? So use the Bible to help you if you need to. So let's give that a go. If you're looking around and you're feeling confident, you're used to praying, maybe see if there's someone who might feel a bit less confident. But we're just going to spend just a few moments doing that now, and then Emma's going to lead us in communion.